You're listening to the podcast, So You Want to Be a Writer, with Valerie Koo and Allison Tate. Valerie is an author, journalist, and national director of the Australian Writers' Centre, which is one of the world's leading providers of online and classroom courses for people who want to get published and write with confidence.
Allison Tate is a freelance writer, blogger, and author of the best-selling series, The Mapmaker Chronicles. She has more than 20 years' professional writing experience.
Each week they explore the world of writing, publishing and blogging to bring you news and opportunities, advice on how to succeed in the world of writing, interviews with top writers and much more. With students enrolling from all over the world, you can find out more about the Australian Writer Centre at writercentre.com.au.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 155 of So You Want to Be a Writer. My name's Valerie Koo and in this mini-sode I'm here with Allison Tate. How are you, Al?
That's so funny. In this mini-sode you're here with me like you are every week.
Yes,
in every
that's
episode.
Right.
It's like I thought you were going to introduce someone else. I was thinking, yay! Yes, you are with Allison Tate. Hello, Valerie, and hello, everyone. It's very nice to be here.
And this is a mini-sode, and if you're new to us, then in between our regular programming of our regular episodes, we have a mini-sode where we answer our listener questions. And we would love to answer your questions about the world of writing and publishing. So if you do have a question you'd like us to answer, then do email us your question podcast@writercentre.com.au. That's podcast@writercentre.com.au. But before we get stuck into our mini-sode and our listener questions this week, we want to give a shout out to Shannon Garner, who has kindly left us a review on iTunes, and Shannon has said, a gem of a podcast. I'm so glad I found this podcast, chock full of information, laughs and published author interviews. I look forward to this weekly indulgence in the world of writing and its many facets. As an emerging writer myself, I receive so much from the interviews and love the banter between Valerie and Allison. Great job, ladies. Oh, wow.
Thank you so much, Shannon.
Yes, thank you so much, Shannon. We really, really appreciate it because it's very encouraging. And if any other listeners have 30 seconds to leave us a review or rating on iTunes, we'd be very, very grateful because it helps us in the rankings.
It does.
Now, I thought I would start this week, before we get to our listener questions, with an interesting daily ritual that I discovered that Andy Warhol used to do every okay. single morning.
Every morning. Okay. Is this whiskey and donuts? I got asked on Twitter the other day. I can't remember who by. I'm so sorry. But I laughed so much about whether or not I had actually tried the whiskey and donut breakfast yet. And I'm like, not yet, but, you know, thanks for reminding me.
You never know. The day might come.
Welcome. I have many days when I could do with that, but when you have two small boys to get out the door to school, whiskey and donuts is not really going to do it for you.
Even though I love whiskey, I do not think I could do it in the morning unless I haven't actually gone to bed from the night before. Okay, so – every weekday morning from 1976 until his death in 1987, so for 11 years he did this every single morning, he actually rang up his friend and writing collaborator Pat Hackett. Mm-hmm. And he'd basically just talk about his last 24 hours. So he'd talk about, you know, what he did, like any gossip he heard or any parties he went to or exhibitions or whatever or the money he spent, which is interesting. And so Pat used to take notes during the calls, and they weren't 5-minute calls, Al. They were 1 to 2 hours.
Right.
And yeah, these are long phone calls every single morning. And Pat would then take the notes, but type up what he'd do, particularly because Andy Warhol told him about the money that he spent, was he would type them up like accounts, so which he used for tax purposes.
You're kidding.
No, how bizarre is that? Because they were then later, those typed pages were then later stapled to his weekly receipts. So instead of an accountant, you could just ring your friend and talk through
what a very understanding friend.
I know, right?
Imagine being on the end of that every morning.
I know.
sorry, Andy, I can't talk right now. We're running late for school. I've got to get some shoes on. Let me ring you back. Yeah, no, maybe not.
Yes, but interestingly, apart from the receipts, what this eventually did, this daily ritual eventually did give rise to was the Andy Warhol diaries, because essentially it was like a diary, right?
Yeah.
Except you talked.
Yeah. Yeah.
So interesting. I don't know if I could spend 1 to 2 hours on the phone every morning talking through about what I did that day.
Well, I'm going to ring you on a daily basis now, and you can take notes, and I'll just kind of like throw story ideas at you, and you can take notes, and then at some point we can just publish them as a memoir. What do you think?
A great idea. I'm sure
the
it'll
Alison
work.
Tate diaries. Got up, drove the boys to school, walked the dog. It's going to be honestly. I see it being a bestseller, don't you?
Bestseller, total bestseller.
I'm totally not going to the parties that he's going to. That's the problem.
Oh, I don't go to any parties. So let's move on to the listener questions for this week. We have a question from Angela, who has said, "Hi, Val and Al. I have a question about writing the back cover of your book. It seems this should be the easy part, but I'm having a real struggle with it. I know this is a very important element to draw in the reader, and I'm just amazed at how hard this has been for me. Is this normal, and do you have any suggestions? Thanks, and as always, please never stop what you're doing. I would have never even had the confidence to finish my book if I had not found your podcast." Oh, well, congratulations on finishing your book, Angela.
Yeah, well done, Angela. And can I just go back to your question, is this normal? Yes, yes. It's totally normal.
Totally normal.
The back, the blurb, the back cover of the book is one of the most difficult thing. I mean, you would think, wouldn't you, like I've just written 80,000 words, surely I can sum it up in a couple of paragraphs.
Yeah.
No, because what you're writing on the back cover of the book is actually a sell. You're writing the pitch to the reader on the back of the book.
Yeah.
So it's a sales document. It's sales copy. And that's a skill in itself.
Definitely.
Which is why I never write the back covers of my own books ever. Mm. Mm. I am so happy to hand that over to my publisher and say, what do you reckon?
Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, for some people who are indie publishing, they might not have that luxury.
No, but I'll give it to someone else.
Yeah,
give it to someone else. Yeah, would you do that? Would you give it to someone else? I would give it to someone else.
For sure. I mean, I would do two things. I would still try doing it myself, but I would absolutely give it to somebody else as well and see the best one. But I would not try doing it myself until I had some space between, you know, finishing the book and then writing it. You have to just put it away for a little while, even if it's just for a couple of weeks or a few weeks. And I would also, if you're writing it yourself, go to a bookshop or a library or whatever, something with a lot of selection, and go to the most popular books and read the back cover and look at the ones that just do not grab you and figure out why, and look at the ones that make you want to buy it and figure out why, and basically do this as an exercise. Spend one morning in the library or something and make sure they are relatively current books. So don't do this for a book that was published 50 years ago. And do that analysis so you can find out the patterns and the reasons why you feel compelled to buy one book and not another. So and then take that into your writing.
And I think it's really, really important whenever you're even thinking about writing something like this is you have to remember that you're writing it for the reader, not for yourself. So when this is the reason I say give it to someone else, because a reader comes back to you, particularly like in my sense, writing for kids, right? So what a 10-year-old boy or girl comes back to me and says is the best bit of this book or is what they got most out of this book, it's not what I would write. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I'm the author of the book. So what I'm going to talk about is, you know, the themes and how it's this and how it's that. And what they want to talk about is there are sea monsters and this is awesome. So it's really important to think about the story from the perspective of your reader, not necessarily from what you're trying to say. And I think that that's where the sales aspect of it comes in. But get some feedback, like get a couple of readers, ideal readers if you can find them, to read the story and to come back with you with like five key points of what they thought the book was about, the, yes. or the, you know, the best bits of the story for them, because, you know, that's who you're trying to appeal to, the reader. Yeah. It's not about what you're trying to say. And I think that that's a really, really important difference.
So important. And also, if you do get somebody else to write the back cover blurb, or even if you write it yourself, don't be afraid to write multiple versions, because even if you have four versions, you present it to people and ask them which one will make you pick up this book. So you do some testing, so to speak. You don't have to write one perfect version. You can write four versions and see which one resonates with people. So, yeah, hopefully that's useful for you, Angela.
Yeah, good luck.
Yes. So who wrote your back cover blurb of your upcoming book in the fourth book of the Mapmaker Chronicles series, which is called?
Which is called Beyond the Edge of the Map, and which comes out on the 28th of March. Thank you so much for asking, Valerie. I love the way you do that.
Exciting. You know what I'm going to do, Al?
What?
I'm going to my – I know you can pre-order through Booktopia, and that's great.
Yes.
And we love Booktopia. They're fantastic. But I'm going to go to – my local bookshop and pre-order there so that they know that there's people who want this book.
What a good idea. Yes. But you know what? I have to say, I think that is a terrific idea. And I also would just say that if you have a favourite author and you know that you are going to buy their book when it comes out, if there is a pre-ordering option, or if you can go into your bookshop and pre-order it, then do that, because it helps your favourite author exponentially. So if you're intending to buy the book anyway when it comes out, a pre-order is just a huge boost for that particular author. And it has to do with, you know, the sales in the first week, and it has to do with the fact that all of the pre-orders are counted on day one of the launch, and it will help your favourite author to look awesome on the bestseller list.
Yep. Definitely. Definitely.
Hypothetically speaking.
Definitely. And that's why I'm pre-ordering. So, also, because I often go into bookstores and make sure that my friends' books are pulled out so that they're front facing and not spine facing.
A bit of merchandising, yes.
So that's just a little tip. If you want to support your favourite author, that's also a good thing to do. But let's move on to Jasmine. Jasmine has a question. Now, the question is, when writers say how many words a day they write, are they saying the amount of words in a fast write or after editing? I can fast write 1,000 to 2,000 words a day, and I'm being hailed as a prolific writer, which I think to myself, I don't think so. Am I accidentally bragging, or am I underappreciating myself? Great question. What do you think, Al?
Well, I can only speak for myself because I don't know what other writers do necessarily. But in most cases that I, when saying that, I can speak for a few other writers because we share our word counts. It's just the number of words we got on paper that day. So it's when you say a fast write, I'm assuming we're talking about a first draft. So if I'm posting word counts, which I do when I do my challenges online that people like to, write a book with Al, when I do those write a book with Al challenges, I'm posting the number of words I got on the page that day. And sometimes that is 274 and some days that is 3,807. So it just depends on the day. And it's got nothing to do with, for me, it's just I post those words and I, as I explain in my write a book with Al kind of, exposés when I start them, it's about accountability. So for me, it's like, I am going to post when I write, and that way I have that, I feel the expectation of doing that. So I post my word counts knowing that my community knows that I'm working on a manuscript, and so I feel the obligation to at least get 200 words a day down. So that's why I post. So whether that's bragging or underappreciating myself, I don't know. But it's just the number of words I get down on the page. Like the editing process is for me a totally different process. I do it after the first draft is finished. I don't edit as I go. So I can't actually comment on that. I keep those two things very, very separate. So I think that other authors may edit as they go and therefore just be saying how many they've got at the end of the day, which is totally fine as well. We all work in different ways. So that's what I do. What do you do, Val?
I don't really think a lot about word counts when I write, which is interesting because I'm always asking other writers about their word counts. And because I really, really often ask other writers about their word counts, I do have an idea of what other writers do. And I think that I can only assume, Jasmine, that you are talking about a first draft, like a where you're not editing. And I do think that a lot of writers do average, do come in at around 1,000 words. Some people have, some writers are lower. They have a goal of only 500 words. But I think they're, and that's when they're full-time writing and working on a dedicated piece, of course. And but I think they're in the smaller group. I think a lot more writers who I talk to and I ask about their word counts are around the 1,000-word mark. Some will have those spurts where they will go to 2,000 or 3,000, as you said. You know, we've talked about how Tristan Banks goes walking on the beach and by the time he's come back, he's typed out 2,000 words with his thumbs on his iPhone. So I think that, yeah, for a lot of authors, once they're when they're focusing on a particular piece, definitely 1,000 is pretty easy. Well, I don't know whether it's easy for them to achieve, but they achieve it. And, yeah, sometimes it's more than that. So
yeah, different. I mean, I remember we talked to Kylie Ladd and she aims to write 2,000 words a day and she doesn't go to bed until she's done her 2,000 words when she's working on something. Charlotte Wood, I think when we discussed it with her, was at 1,000 words a day. She aims for 1,000 words a day. Some days it takes her 6 hours. Some days it takes her half an hour. And, you know, I follow Kate Forsyth, who, of course, you know, writes those fantastically researched, you know, historical wonder books, and she has a new one. Well, she has a new one out as we speak, I believe.
That's right, yes.
Beauty and Thorns, I think it's called. Mm. Anyway, you know, I follow her sometimes and she'll be posting word counts and she can do some days, she'll do 7,000 words a day.
Yeah.
Like it depends on where she's at with her manuscript and what else she's got on at the time and things like that. So I just think it's important that for people to realise that everybody works in their own way.
Yes.
And I think that it's also important to realise that word counts are useful for from an accountability perspective, but it's not. I think if you start to look at word counts as a competitive thing, then I think it's, you know, you're going to get yourself into a bit of a mess. So for me, it's just how many words did I write today? I wrote 274. So I think it's it's the key is to write them.
Yes.
And I think that that's, you know, to have a word count more than zero is terrific as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. It is an accountability thing and it's a comparison with yourself in a sense.
With yourself, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, because as you say, there's no, I wouldn't bother comparing with other writers because every writer is so totally different. Anyway, so we hope that that's useful, Jasmine, because, yeah, we have asked a lot of writers about their word counts and so hopefully that sheds some light into what you're looking for in terms of your word counts. All right, that brings us to the end of our little mini-sode this week. Al, what will you be doing until we chat again?
Good question. well, to be honest with you, it's mostly for me at the moment, it's mostly focusing on book promotion because, you know, it's only a few weeks now before the book 4 in the Mapmaker Chronicles comes out. I've also got burbling away in the background, you know, edits and things on book 1 in my new series, which I can tell you now is called The Adaban Cipher. And I can tell you that because it appeared in Hachette's sneak peek of books for the rest of the year.
Oh, my God. When's it out?
Oh, well, that's an interesting question because it was going to be the 1st of October, but it's going to probably come out earlier than that. Okay. But we're not exactly sure when yet. I will have it. When I have a date, I will tell you the date. But it's called The Adaban Cipher. It's two books. The first book will come out this year. The second book will come out early next year. And it's, I'm waiting for some further sort of, I'd like a cover or something to kind of make a big announcement around. So I'm just waiting for some further details. But it's called The Adaban Cipher and it's about a coded medieval manuscript. Fantasy.
Love it.
Yes, it was slightly alternate universe again, but it's all about a coded, illuminated manuscript.
Now, if you want to be as prolific as Alison, one of the things you can do is take Alison's Creative Writing Bootcamp. Now, we have to mention this because this is such an incredible offer and it is time sensitive. So make sure that you check out what's going on at creativewritingbootcamp.com because it will open. You will be able to access it from the 10th of March. It doesn't mean you need to start the bootcamp on the 10th of March. You can actually start it at any time. You can press the button at any time, but you'll be able to access it from the 10th of March. And when it opens on the 10th of March, it will be at the retail price of $97. But if you purchase before the 10th of March, it is an incredible, seriously never to be repeated price of $47. It's just an incredible deal that we wanted to reward our listeners with and our community with if you purchase before the 10th of March. Now, the great thing about this bootcamp is you can do it again and again and again at no extra cost. So once you pay your $47, you can just keep on doing it. But why don't you tell us a little bit about what the bootcamp does, Al?
So it's a 30-day program where you get a prompt each day, and the prompt is to work on your own project. I will say that it's more of a word count prompt than sort of like a, you know, now go write me a character or write me a scene or something like that. And the idea is to get you into a writing habit. So as we were just discussing, the word counts, they vary. So some days it's 200 words, some days it's 500 words, some days it's 1,000 words. What we're trying to do here is find your level of comfort. We're trying to work out what's the most comfortable level for you to write on a daily basis or thereabouts. It's not even every day. Some days, you know, it might be 7 days one week, 5 days another week. Days of rest are quite important, I feel, for putting together a project. I think it's really, really important that you allow yourself some time to kind of meditate and think about things. So the idea is that if you complete the 30 days, you will have 10,000 words at the end of it. You will have 10,000. You may have more. And in fact, we've had people tweeting us and sending us emails that they've achieved 28,000 words in that 30-day period. So if you're looking to actually get some momentum going with a manuscript, then this is for you.
Absolutely. And I'm just so excited about it to be able to bring it to people at that price as well if you purchase before the 10th of March. All right, fantastic. You can find out more at creativewritingbootcamp.com. And now this brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Remember, if you do have a question for us, then email us podcast@writerscentre.com.au. Thanks for listening and we'll chat to you again really soon.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to So You Want to Be a Writer. You'll find the show notes at writerscentre.com.au/podcast or sign up for our awesome and often hilarious weekly newsletter at writerscentre.com.au/news, where you'll find writing resources, giveaways, competitions, and much more.